Are you?
I am. All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Functionally Autoimmune. We have another fantastic guest on the show with us today. You may recognize him because he's been with us before, but with me today is Dr. Glenn Livingston. He's a psychologist and an expert in all things eating. There's so much more to that that we'll get into, but welcome, Glenn, to the show, and we're so excited to have you again.
Thank you for having me on. It's very nice to be here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. So I wanted to find out a little bit more for the people who didn't hear our previous show, a little bit about how you got into kind of the realm of binge eating and weight loss and cravings and just kind of those types of things. What led you in that direction?
Well, I ate my way there. That's how I got there. I lost
Yeah.
the war with a bagel in 1982, and I never looked back. No, I was kind of serious binge eater myself, and chocolate and pizza were really my nemesis or nemesis.
Yes.
And I'll try to make it brief because I know we talked about this before. But as a psychologist in a family of 17 psychotherapists, I thought if I could love myself, then it would all get better. So if I could fill the hole in my heart, then I wouldn't have to fill the hole in my stomach. And I went on a very long journey to really find my soul and feed my soul. And I did feed my soul on the journey, but I also fed my stomach, and that didn't work out so well for the eating problem.
Yeah.
I get a little thinner and a lot fatter each time. And then eventually, because I was also consulting for the big food industry, I started to have a clue that there were these outside forces that didn't have anything to do with my personal psychology. You know,
Right.
that the bags and boxes and containers that these cats in white suits with mustaches were engineering and laughing all the way to the bank when we would be looking
Sure.
for the love at the bottom of a container. I realized that has nothing to do with my personal psychology. And neither does the advertising industry or the fact that you can, walk out of one hamburger joint and see another one across the street. We live in a world which is really a perfect storm for overeating.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of study. Eventually I kind of flipped the paradigm and I said, maybe there's just some very practical things that I have to do to overcome it. And that led me on a journey to figure it out. It started with a cognitive intervention where I was correcting my thinking about food more so than my emotions about it. So
Yeah.
I would draw a really clear line in the sand. I'll never have chocolate on a weekday. And that allowed me to say that anything in my head that suggested I would do that was destructive. And anything that suggested that I don't do that I stick to my plan, would be constructive.
Yeah.
And because I could recognize my destructive self, I could wake up at the moment of impulse more easily, and then I could refute the destructive thought. So if the destructive thought was, just start again tomorrow, you worked out hard enough, you're not going to gain any weight, I would refute that and say, well, first of all, it's usually not just a little, it's usually a lot. Secondly, the principle of neuroplasticity says that when you say you're going to start again tomorrow and you reward that thought with some chocolate, you're more likely to say the thought again tomorrow, to have the thought again tomorrow. So you can only ever really use the present moment to be healthy. And if you're in a hole, stop digging. Duh.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of those duh moments where something that seemed to make sense really didn't make sense. And I kept the journal for a while and for a long time, which eventually became the book. And I got thin, relatively thin, and I found my peace with food, but it was kind of a hard won peace over time, because what I subsequently discovered after having a million readers and writing 8 books and or 7 books, I don't know, a whole bunch of books, and getting another million people on Psychology Today and working with 2,000 paying clients, I finally figured out that it wasn't all about what you thought. Like, the thinking might be primary. And the problem I was having for the decades when I was trying to love myself thin was I was thinking that my emotional conflicts were primary. They're a part of the equation, but they're not really primary. When I made the thinking primary, I was able to create a space between stimulus and response. I would, you know, I'd feel triggered by something and I would think, oh, you know, just start tomorrow. And then I could intervene with that. It was a big part of the story, but it wasn't the whole story because there were still these moments when I would go, ah, screw it, just do it. And that's what I would find with clients also. Like the cognitive intervention, the thinking intervention had an impact. And I was getting letters from people, you know, 3, 4 times a week that they lost 100, 200 pounds and that it really saving their life. But on a practical basis, every day, I'd see people make a lot of progress and then really slip back because they'd have these screw it moments. I'd say they get a case of the effets. And I'm saying, what is causing these screw it moments? Like, so if you know, if you really, you've corrected your thinking, what's causing the screw it moments? And over time, I've come to understand, and this is what really the subject of the new book is, I've come to understand that there are a variety of factors, but they all fall under the rubric of a false sense of panic, a false sense of emergency, where you're brain and your body really perceive on a primitive level that they don't have what they need right now. I'm understanding, I'm underscoring false because most of the time it's not true. But nevertheless, by understanding it like a false sense of emergency, we can do things to reassure ourselves that we do have what we need now. And the screw it's the case of the screw it's that it slowly dies down. So for example, am I talking too much? Do you want to interrupt me?
No, please. This is great.
So, for example, you know what? One of the first things we discovered was that people lasted longer and it was much easier for them to recover and they, you know, had more peace with food and they lost more weight when they were regularly, reliably, day in and day out, nutrifying their bodies. So we saw a discrepancy between people who were really trying to attack it with like a severe weight loss diet or even intermittent fasting versus people that were having 3 meals a day, every day, day in and day out. And I'm not saying that's the ultimate end all and be all, and that's where you have to wind up. But for the first few months while you are working on defeating your cravings, it's really helpful because eventually your lower self, your destructive self, is going to say, oh God, you're starving. You better eat that. Right? Forget about your silly rules. Forget about your diet. Forget about your plan. You better eat that. You know, just hand over the chocolate and nobody gets hurt. And if you're really hungry, if you're genuinely, authentically hungry, that's going to sound a lot more believable. And then I read a little more and I came to understand that the brain kind of has a mechanism for forcing us to be less discriminating about food when it perceives that it's urgent that we need the resources. And so that was really interesting. Then I noticed, I introduced a technique, it's actually an ex-girlfriend taught me, a breathing technique for calming down the brain and entering the parasympathetic nervous system. That's the part of our nervous system that says, we have what we need right now. It's okay to rest and digest. There's no emergency. And it turns out that if you breathe in for a count of 7 and out for a count of 11, and you do that repeatedly, you're signaling your body that there's no emergency because if there were an emergency or a hungry bear were chasing you, you'd be going, and so you're telling your brain, we don't need that extra oxygen right now. We don't need extra resources. And it starts to translate to food also. We don't really need that extra food right now. So I noticed that. I noticed that there were some people who were doing yoga instead of binging at night. And they reported that the binge urges would go away. I noticed some people were just taking a walk outside or meditating. And so anything that seemed to activate the parasympathetic nervous system that says, I have everything I need right now. That's the new mantra. I have everything I need right now. It calmed that false sense of emergency. And it's not like it made the efforts impossible, but they were much less frequent. So I started to look at all the other things that you could do to calm that sense of emergency, right? So, I mean, that's where psychotherapy can help. But also getting enough sleep, having enough water, having a good sense of social connection, where we're a pack animal, we feel kind of panicked when we're isolated. So having more social connection, all of those things would calm that false sense of emergency. And I'm getting better results. Like, even we always got really great results with clients, but I'm getting even better, seemingly more long-lasting results with clients since I've been focusing on not only intervening with their thinking about food, but also intervening in their self-care so that they feel like they have what they need and they're not entering those false senses of emergency anymore or as often.
Absolutely. I love all of that. And you mentioned your latest book, which is called, correct me if I'm wrong, Defeat My Cravings, The
Defeat
Backdoor to Weight Loss.
your cravings. DefeatYourCravings.com. DefeatYourCravings, the backdoor to weight loss.
So when you talk about the backdoor to weight loss, is this what you're talking about as far as like really changing that mindset and lifestyle to avoid the cravings in general is, or what does that mean? What is the backdoor to weight loss?
Well, the diet mentality is responsible for a lot of panic. I tell people, you gotta love yourself at every step of the journey. Maybe it's because if you try to lose weight really quickly, you're going to wind up over-restricting your food sources. And your body's going to perceive an urgent need for more food. And so you're going to amp up the sense of panic. And even the psychological perception that you have to lose the weight really quickly, that you're not acceptable at this weight. Like, do you know how many times I've had a conversation with someone that says they can't believe they're going to go to the wedding and people are going to recognize that they gained weight? And I say, do you think they're going to spit on you when you walk in the door? Are they going to spit on you because you gained weight? If you had a friend who gained 30 pounds, you hadn't seen them in a couple of years, what would you say to them? How would you treat them? Would you love them any less? Would you have compassion for what they might be going? And you kind of have to walk people through the fact that, they're lovable anyway, right? Right here, right now. And the whole idea that you've got to lose 30 pounds in 30 days, or that you even can lose it so quickly and keep it off indefinitely. It's you've got a medical emergency and the doctor says it's really urgent for you to lose weight. And there are situations like that. I mean, you can reverse diabetes diagnoses and take yourself out of danger for heart disease and everything. But 9 times out of 10, I find that when people adopt that mentality, they don't really defeat their cravings. They get panicked because they don't feel lovable and they're not well nourished. And if you don't feel lovable and you're not well nourished, then your brain is going to say, oh my God, I need something. Oh my God, we need these calories to survive. So the backdoor to weight loss means that paradoxically, we need to give up focusing on weight loss as the primary goal and focus more on having a regular, reliable, peaceful relationship with food, which involves identifying the food signals, the triggers that dog you the most for your cravings, really understanding how cravings work, and learning to navigate them so that you can eat in the healthy way that you want to, which paradoxically usually leads to weight loss in the long run, but a more sustainable, wholesome, reliable weight loss. Does that make sense?
For sure. And it really does make sense because I think you said it absolutely correct, is there's such a focus on like this diet mentality that we get stuck in, and it's kind of this vicious cycle of like you have to follow the newest fad diet, you have to do all of these things, and if you don't do that, somehow you are less than, or you've failed in some way. And I think that failure mentality is also a huge part of how we get stuck in like the craving cycle and things like that.
Yes, you want to cultivate a success identity. You want to ask yourself, what am I doing right? If I made a mistake, what can I learn from it? How can I improve? How was that mistake better than previous mistakes I've made in the past? And
Yeah.
just keep cultivating that success identity.
So, do you find that when people are starting this work and really trying to change their relationship with food and the way that they communicate with themselves around food, do you find that them being on, say, a specific diet, let's say a high carb diet, low carb diet, whatever you want to call it, do you find that that causes more issues, or do people find that having that label of a specific diet helps them? What should people look for when they're used to being on like a named diet, like low carb or low fat or whatever
Well,
it is?
I find that the extreme diets make it more difficult. So, for example, there is a while when this was after I got thin and I was, I'd say, 90% recovered, but I was focusing on 100% raw vegan diet. I even, during my divorce and my midlife crisis, I got a tattoo, which I wish I could get rid of, which says, it says raw vegan. And then I put a little parentheses after that says mostly, because it was too extreme for me. It was too extreme. And it's not that I really believe, it's not that I disbelieve some of the tenets of the diet itself, because I mean, I think there are toxins that are formed in cooking and all that kind of stuff, but it was too extreme. It was too extreme and it was difficult to maintain. And I was having too many cravings. I'd learned to control the actions, but I was having too many cravings. It was very uncomfortable. And what I find with my clients is that it's much more difficult for them to refute what their lower self is saying and to attend to calming that false sense of emergency if they're on an extreme diet. So if people come to me on a low carb diet, I'll say, does it have to be ultra low carb? Like some people want to eat nothing besides meat. And I haven't had a lot of luck with those people, because I think it's just because it's too extreme, and they would tell me no. And I'm not a licensed dietitian or a medical doctor or anything. I've talked to an awful lot of dietitians and, professionals in the scope of what I've done, because I've done about 400 or 500 of these interviews. But I find that there's probably some nutrition missing from some of these extreme forms of dieting. And so I kind of wish that people would stop arguing so much about whether it should be carnivore or plant-based or, ultra low carb or ultra high carb. And I wish they would just focus on getting the processed food out of their diet. I find that processed food is really the devil. There are ways to moderate it. Everybody has some for the most part, but I do find that the less processed food people have, the quicker, easier, more sustainably, more peacefully people can conquer their cravings. So that's my wish for this life. And if at some point I'm in charge of the world, then I would like to therefore for there to be a lot less processed food available.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. I wish that the processed food could start disappearing as well. And I love hearing that from you, someone who's worked in the food industry. Seeing kind of the back door of that must be something very interesting to know as well. But
I'm kind of like the Marlboro man. Late in his life, he was very contrite. He felt very guilty about what he did. I was not working in the right area. I don't feel good about what I did.
Yeah,
It's
that's
it's 25 years ago, but I don't feel good about it.
right. Yeah, and to be fair, 25 years ago we didn't know what we know now, so it's a very different world. But for sure, I think the processed food is such a huge problem. And I'm curious with cravings, because some people have very specific cravings. Some people very specifically crave sugar, some salt, some both. Does it matter with people who are working through going through mindset changes and things like that? Does it really matter what type of craving that they're having? Does this kind of work for all types of cravings? What, because I know so many people have so many different ones that they battle with.
It doesn't really matter what your food drug of choice is, except that there may be some nutritional deficiencies that can be corrected that are specific to the kind of cravings that you have. I know I've talked to people, I'm not a dietitian, but I know personally, I used to have high blood pressure, and I still have to watch it. And I would crave salt. And one of the ways I got myself off the salt craving was to introduce a lot more green leafy vegetables. There is something about the minerals and green leafy vegetables that satisfied my salt cravings. And if I start to crave salt now, I know that I'm probably not getting enough, whole green leafy vegetables. So when you're craving sugar and flour, a lot of times you can sate that by upping your fruit intake, which you have to be careful with various medical conditions. And I'm talking about whole fruit, not fruit juice or dried fruit. And usually that only works if you're on a lower fat diet. So I mean, there are nutritional insights that you can glean from the particular craving that you have, but the mechanism of craving, like the scientific neurological mechanism of craving, is pretty much the same for all of them. And so, assuming that you're attending to your nutritional needs, you can use the same set of techniques to overcome the cravings.
Yeah, that's really good to know, because I know that I get clients or people reaching out to me often that are worried specifically about cravings that they're having, or things like that. And it's and what I've kind of noticed, and tell me if this is something that you've noticed before, is a lot of times these cravings are they come after a processed food meal. Is that something that you something
Oh
that you've
yeah.
noticed?
No, and there are, I mean, sometimes there are things that are put into the meals to stimulate your cravings, but there are things in the packaging that can interfere with your ghrelin and leptin production, which are the hormones that regulate hunger. When you have processed food, you're usually having a lot of calories without a lot of nutrition. And for 99.9% of the time that humans have been on the planet, calories were associated with an appropriate level of nutrition. So the brain thinks that if you have a certain amount of calories, that you should have the right amount of nutrition to go with it. But then it goes, WTF, where's the nutrition? Like you have a candy bar, says, wait, did we just eat some fruit? Where are all the vitamins and minerals? Where's my guar? Where's my pectin? Where's the fiber? The brain doesn't really understand what's going on, and so it says we better go find more nutrition. That didn't work. That really destabilized.
That's such a great explanation of how that works, because I think a lot of people don't understand that, your body is kind of a walking chemistry set. And so everything kind of has a reaction. And so, if you are eating something to be full, that doesn't necessarily mean that your body is satisfied.
Exactly. Exactly.
Such a strong explanation of it all. So I want to make sure before we run out of time, I want to talk about your book, because I think it is fantastic. I think battling cravings is something that so many people want to know and understand more about. And so I love that you wrote this book and that you have it out there. So tell us where people can find it, where to locate the information, where to find you, all of that.
Everything is at defeatyourcravings.com. You go to defeatyourcravings.com and click the big blue button to sign up for the free reader bonuses. You will see how to get the book. You will see how to, you also get a set of free food plan starter templates, which are adjusted for any dietary philosophy, point counting, calorie counting, high carb, low carb, vegan, carnivore, wh whatever you're doing. There's a set of starter templates you can work with to customize a set of rules for yourself. There is a set of full-length recorded sessions that I've demonstrated because I want people to understand how this works in practice. And it can sound a little weird or harsh or abstract when we're just talking about it in an interview, but when you hear people go from feeling desperate and confused and hopeless about food or despairing, feeling optimistic and enthusiastic and hopeful in just one session. It's very, very inspiring. And there's a lot more little audios you can use if you're having a craving. It's all free. There's a little charge for the book, but everything else is free at defeatyourcravings.com. Defeatyourcravings.com.
That's amazing. And all of the free resources are so useful and helpful for everyone, especially if you need a guide or something that can really help get you started and underway. So that's so great. And I really encourage all of you to go to defeatyourcravings.com and check out the free resources, check out the book, all of those things. And then also, Glenn, are they able to sign up to work with you there? Is there a way to connect with you?
Well, I mean, you'll see when you go there. There's a link in the navigation bar that's free stuff, and we have an app that will lead you to our community. There's a free community, and then and that involves some resources you can't get elsewhere. And then there's a paid community which involves we have group coaching online every day, so 4 days a week I'm online. Coaching people for an hour a day, and that's in a group. And then I have other coaches that work with me that take the other three, and we have personal one-on-one coaching that goes along with that. And it's very step-by-step structured process with videos to lead you all the way through if you want to do the paid program. So, but a lot of people get better just with our free stuff, and I. You know, I have to pay the electric bills too, but my mission in the world is just to help a million people to stop overeating every year. So yeah, go to defeatyourcravings.com, get the free stuff, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, that's such an amazing mission. Again, thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing this information, for putting this wonderful resources out there for everyone, and for doing what you do. We're so happy to have you here again with us because your information and what you share is so powerful and so important for so many people out there. So I really appreciate you taking the time to spend with us today and being here with us again.
Thank you so much, Brandy. It's really nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you everyone for listening, and we will see you on the next episode.
Welcome to the show, and thank you so much for listening. This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens, with 75 absorbable vitamins and minerals in just one scoop per day. I've increased my energy, immune function, and so much more. AG is a non-negotiable part of my daily routine. For your own risk-free AG plus 20% off and free vitamin D3 K2 supplement, go to www.athleticgreens.com/functionallyautoimmune or look in the notes of this podcast and you can find the link there. Trust me, you want to add Athletic Greens to your day. It makes such a huge difference.